Amen. And I want to preach to you today from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, but also Psalm 42 and verse 1, and also Psalm 63 and verse 1. And I know that's a lot of scriptures, but this is what the Lord lays on my heart, so I'm going to try to be obedient to what he's been speaking. And he just confirmed it when I went down to that youth conference down there in Alabama. Brother Jarvis asked me to preach, and, you know, I was seeking the Lord's will, what he would have me to say, and he laid this on my heart, and while I was down there, I was like, well, I got to go back and preach it now. It was just like confirmation when I was down there at that youth conference. It was so good. I got refreshed. I was tired in body because I went down there, and I wasn't down there just to be at the conference. I went down there to work at the conference. Where I was down there in the school in Alabama, they called me before I went down there. They said, are you coming to rest or are you coming to work? I said, I'm coming to work. And so they put me right to it, setting up chairs, wiping off tables, doing all the behind-the-scenes things that you got to do for a conference to run smoothly. And my God, God showed up. There was testimonies of people getting saved. I watched a couple people get filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. The power of God fell. There was anointed preaching. Amen. It was just a great time in the Lord. Amen. If you've got it, Matthew chapter 5, Psalm 42, verse 1, and Psalm 63, verse 1. We're going to start reading in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. And the Bible says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. In Psalm 42, verse 1. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. In Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And if the Lord will help me right now, I just want to preach to you on the thought of we need a divine desperation. Amen. Could you stretch your hands towards heaven right now and ask God that his word would come forth? Lord Jesus, we're gathered in this house today to worship you, to become more like you, to see you, God. Let us see you in this service today. Let us see you in your holiness, God. Let us see us in our sinfulness. Because when we see those two things and we see the disparity between them, we realize that we have got to change. God, I ask that you would change hearts this morning. God, I ask that you would change lives this morning for your glory, God. Lord, not that I would get the glory, not that this church would get the glory, but that you, Lord Jesus Christ, would get the glory. You're the only one worthy this morning. You're the only one worthy of praise, worthy of any honor, worthy of any glory today, Jesus. It's only you, and we've gathered here to worship you and to hear from you. In your mighty name, speak to us, Holy Ghost. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. God laid this thought on my heart, and it's kind of been what he's been speaking to me for the past couple weeks, that the church is in need of a divine desperation. There's got to be something inside of us that says there's got to be more to this Christian life. There's got to be more to this walk with God than simply just showing up on Sunday, sitting on a pew, singing a few songs, praying in the altars a few minutes, and then going back home. But we need something deep down inside of us. Like David said in Psalms, it's the deep that cries unto deep, the deep things in our hearts, the parts inside of us that we can't hardly explain and we don't know how to put it into words, but there's just something inside of us when we've seen God for who he really is that says, I've got to know him more. I've got to have more. I can't stop just where I'm at right now. I know that there's deeper places in Jesus Christ. I know there's deeper places in the Holy Ghost, deeper places in this walk that we got to get to. And the church cannot sit back and simply be comfortable with where we're at. We can't simply just slack off and say, all right, we've done enough. We've got enough. We've got good singers. We've got good Sunday school. We've got good preaching. We've got good musicians. We got to have more, because if the Holy Ghost ain't in it, let me tell you, it's all for nothing. Let me give you a little sneak peek into what was going on in that conference. The first 30 seconds of the preaching, this all happened in the first 30 seconds of the preaching. Brother Kenny Morris, he's a pastor in his 70s. He's got a church in northern Kentucky, and my Lord, he's a man of God. The first 30 seconds, he got up, he took the pulpit, he took the mic, and he said, "I've come today with a kindred spirit of Samuel, and I've got my horn filled with oil, and I'm ready to anoint a David tonight." He said, "I feel a kindred spirit with Elijah, and I've come with a mantle to throw it on somebody for somebody else to run with it." He said, "Saul's time is coming to an end." That was the thought he was going to preach on. He said, "Saul's time's coming to an end, and I believe God is about to call out some Davids in the house tonight." He said, "He's calling out those Davids that are willing to work for him and willing to get a drive to work for the kingdom of God and that are full of the Holy Ghost." And then he said, "Because I want you to know, because if you're working for God but you ain't full of the Holy Ghost, you ain't worth a plug nickel in this kingdom." And he said all that in the first 30 seconds. And I just sat back and I said, "Oh, God, do it in me. God, don't let me get satisfied. God, let me pick something up. Don't let me just let the men and women of that were great in the faith that have lived before, but now they've gone on. Don't let me let those mantles just fall to the ground. Don't let me let Brother Jarvis's mantle just fall to the ground and nobody pick it back up. Don't let me let Gene Huff's mantle just fall to the ground and not let anybody else pick it back up." But there's got to be something inside of us that says God's kingdom's got to go forth. There's work to be done. There's souls to be saved. There's lives that need delivered, and there's sin that needs to be confronted and conquered in the lives of people all across this city and people all across this nation. And that only happens when we get a divine desperation for the things of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible says that blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's a promise. That's a promise. But it's a promise that comes with order. It's a promise that comes with a prerequisite before that promise gets answered. It doesn't say just anybody's going to get filled. It doesn't say that just any old yahoo who steps behind a pulpit or anybody who steps in a church building is going to get filled. It says those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. That's the way that God works. He always works in a divine order. And you can't overstep God's order. If you're going to be filled, there's got to be that longing down on the inside of you for more and more of God. Because if he gives it to you without you doing first what he requires, you'll never appreciate it. You'll never know what to do with it. You'll never know how to walk in that anointing that he's wanting to pour out on your life. You've got to do it in God's order. And so before we're ever filled with the power of God, there first has to come a divine hunger that only comes from God. Amen. You look at hunger in the fleshly body. Hunger is a natural response. And where hunger comes from is when the inside of you says, "I need something more. There's something lacking on the inside of me." And when you feel that lack, you feel that need for more, your body automatically triggers a response that you need to go get some food. I wonder if the people of God could ever feel that. Do you ever feel that distance from God? I hope you do. I hope you feel that distance from God, that something's missing and I've got to get it back. I know I'm not operating like I need to. I know I'm not living what I need to, but spiritually I'm hungry and I got to have more of God. I've got to have his anointing. I've got to have his Holy Spirit working in my life. I've got to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Because let me tell you, there's some things in the human body that can make you not hungry. One of those is sickness. If you are sick, you will lose your appetite. And let me tell you, if you've lost your appetite for the things of God, if you've lost your appetite for anything more, if you're comfortable with being where you're at, you've lost your appetite for God, there is something wrong inside your heart. There is something that is sick inside of you. And don't worry, I'm going to preach you out of it, but I got to get you to realize where you're at if we're ever going to get better. Just the same it's the same in the natural as it is in the spiritual. When you're sick, your body doesn't want food like it normally does. Those times when I've had COVID, there were some days where I just nibbled on like some crackers and drank like two swigs of Gatorade. I wasn't hungry. Why? Because there was something in me that wasn't right. There was something in me that had to be dealt with. And if you feel that in your life, and let me tell you, maybe you're realizing right now, there's something wrong in me. There's a spiritual sickness that I need God to deal with. Listen, if you're not hungering and thirsting after righteousness, I don't read anywhere in Scripture where it says that you're not allowed to pray for hunger and righteousness. If you don't feel drawn to the things of God, just ask Him right now. God, fill me with your hunger. God, fill me with your desires. God, I want to do a work for you. God, I want to live for you. God, I need a divine desperation to come into my spirit, because that's the only thing that's going to make me change. That's the only thing that's going to make me live right. That's the only thing that's going to make me talk. Right. That's the only thing that's going to drive me and keep me. Hallelujah. We need that divine hunger. We need to get rid of those sicknesses. We need to build back up our spiritual appetite. Because let me tell you something else. You get filled of what you're hungry for. You get filled of what you're hungry for. If you have a desire inside of you that you really want filled, there ain't nothing going to stop you from it. There was a class in the school of ministry where Brother Atkins was teaching us, and he came in and he said, "You make time for what you want. There ain't nobody in this life that doesn't make time for the things they want. There ain't nobody in this life that doesn't get filled up with the things that they're hungry for." And a lot of us, we get so much spiritual junk food in our lives throughout the week and throughout our daily lives. We're not thinking about the things of God. We're not trying to push in to become more like Him. And we get all this junk food banging us up. And so we come into the house of God and we hear anointed preaching and we hear anointed singing, but we have no room for it at all. Because all week we've just been listening to the things of the world, talking the conversation of the world, or maybe just simple negligence and just not doing anything at all can fill us up and make us not long for something. Because how many's had their mom tell them when you were a little kid you wanted some junk food and she said, "Don't eat that, you're going to spoil your dinner. Don't eat that, you're not going to be hungry for what's good for you." Because mama knows that sugar ain't what makes a baby grow. Mama knows that you don't need just popcorn and Pepsi all day long. Mama knows you need some green beans. You need some salmon patties like my mama used to make me eat, and I absolutely hated them. But she knew, if I get this in this boy, he's going to grow up and be stronger. If I get this boy what he needs to eat, he's going to grow up and develop like he needs to. Let me tell you, your spiritual father has come to tell you right now, get the junk food out of your life. Get all the trash out of your life. And make some room for the things of God. So that when he's coming by in His spirit and He's doing things in a service and He's speaking to hearts and He's speaking to lives, you won't have that already built up on the inside of you. But there's going to be a divine hunger. There's going to be a divine dissatisfaction that says, "God, fill me up. This is what I've been waiting for. God, fill me up. This is what I've been longing for all week. This is what I've been preparing for. Fill me up, God." Is there anybody in the house this morning that'll say, "God, fill me up with what you want to fill me up with. God, baptize me with what you want to baptize me with. Let me walk how you want me to walk, God." Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We need a divine hunger. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says, "As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." Many people think that David wrote this song and he's making the analogy of his own spiritual life and him looking for the things of God and relating that to a heart, which is a deer. It's a deer-like creature that they had over there in Israel at the time. He says, like that heart panteth after the water brooks. That's how I want my soul to long after thee. That's how I want my soul to be after thee, because that heart's only got one thing in its mind. That heart lives in a desert. The desert's dry. There's very little water out there, so whenever it finds it, it completely satisfies itself until it leaves. Let me tell you, we're living in a world that's a desert. We're living in a world that there's so many things that dry us out, that take us away from the things of God that He's wanting to do in our hearts and He's wanting to do in our lives. And we got to come into the house of God. We got to go to our prayer closet. We got to get in His word and say, "God, I'm at the water right now. Fill me up. I got a drink. I've been wandering through this desert world. I've been dry. And it's been affecting me, but now that I'm here, God, fill me up with your water, your living water, God. Put it in me so that I can live for you." Hallelujah. Something you got to notice about that deer is the deer is even more thirsty when it's being hunted and it's running for its life. Has anybody ever felt like that? Has anybody ever felt so depleted and so depraved of all your spiritual needs and all your spiritual desires that you come into the house of God and you feel like you've been hunted all week? And that deer's running. He's trying to find, where's that water at? He knows where to go. He knows I'm lacking strength. I'm lacking a desire. I'm lacking something that I know I need. And I got an enemy that's coming on my back. I got an enemy that's chasing me down. And I know there's only one place to go, and that's to the well that can refresh me. There's only one place to go, and that's back to your Father. That's back in the Spirit. That's back in that prayer closet. That's back in that house of God where you can get refreshed from the attacks that the enemy has been putting on you all week, all month, maybe all year. And if you don't know where to go, let me tell you, I know where to go. And it's running to my Father just as fast as I can, that I got to have that water. I got to get that water, because if I don't get it, I might die. If I don't get it, I ain't going to be able to live for Him. If I don't get it, I don't make it. And it's only when we get that divine desperation down on the inside of us that we're ever going to be able to live for Him, and we're ever going to be able to please Him. Say, God, give me that desperation. I know where to find You, and I'm coming for You. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. The Bible says, oh God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and a thirsty land, where no water is. There ain't no water in this world. There ain't no water in this world. If you're looking for something to fill you up in this world, let me tell you right now, you ain't gonna find it. You ain't gonna find it looking in this world for it. You ain't gonna find it in this world. It is a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The modern commentary puts that verse and puts it like this. It says, God, You're my God. I can't get enough of You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word that would best describe that is the word insatiable. You ever heard anybody talk about, I had an insatiable thirst? That word insatiable means I just can't get enough. Let me tell you, that's what the Spirit of God is. You can't get enough of Him. Let me tell you, He's got more that He wants to do for you than you're willing to receive. Let me tell you, when you think God's filled you up and you think God's done, baby, He's just getting started. Hallelujah. He's just getting started. When you think you've had enough and you can't take no more of what God's doing in your life, there is a well in heaven that is waiting to be poured out over your life if you just stand there and say, God, pour it on me. God, pour it on me. Let me tell you, you go down to the Pacific Ocean. If you bring a thimble down to the Pacific Ocean, you can get all the water you want. You can get all the water you want. If you bring a thimble, you want your thimble full, you go to the Pacific Ocean, you can fill up that thimble. There's enough. It's got enough there. Let me tell you, if you bring a bucket down to the Pacific Ocean and you say, I want to fill up this bucket, you're going to get everything you came for. If you bring a 55-gallon drum down to the Pacific Ocean and you say, I want this drum filled, you're going to get your drum filled, because that Pacific Ocean has got enough. If you bring a tanker truck down to the Pacific Ocean and say, I want this filled, you're going to get your tanker filled. You say, what are you saying, Seth? What are you trying to tell me? I'm saying, however big of a hunger you got for God, that's exactly how much you're going to get. I'm saying, if you want more of the power of God in your life, just increase your hunger for God, and He's going to fill you up. Somebody just pray with me this morning and say, God, take the limit off of what I'm expecting. God, take the limit off what I think I can receive for You. Let me receive everything You got for me. Don't let me just bring my thimble. Don't let me just bring my bucket. Don't let me just bring my tanker. But let me stand before You and say, God, pour it on me. God, pour it on me. Do whatever You want to me, God. I'm Yours. I'm Yours. Increase my hunger. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It says, oh God, You are my God. I can't get enough of You. I've worked up such a hunger and thirst for God, traveling across a dry and weary desert. I've worked up such a hunger traveling across a dry and weary desert. Let me tell you, if you're going to work for God, if you're going to work in this desert, this desert of a world that's so spiritually depleted, that ain't got nothing good in it, if you're going to work here, when you're walking across it, you're going to get dry. You're going to get dry, but you know where to go. You know where to go to get your cup refilled. You know where to go to get your spiritual appetite built back up, to get your spiritual belly filled, to keep you pressing on and to keep going. I'm reminded of what Paul said in Philippians. Might be wrong. In Philippians, he goes through all his accomplishments. It is Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. It is Philippians. Excuse me. It is Philippians. He goes through all his accomplishments. Oh, let me turn to it real quick so I can get it right. Philippians chapter 3. He's going through all his accomplishments that he had as a spiritual zealot, as a Pharisee. He said, you want to talk about spiritual requirements that people have met? He said, you want to talk about somebody who had everything right? You want to talk about somebody who had all their I's dotted and all their T's crossed, who had all their sleeves the right length, who had their gowns covering the right things? You want to talk about somebody who wore the mantle the right way? I'm the perfect picture of it. He said, let me tell you, I'm the perfect picture of it. He said, I was circumcised of the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He said, I'm the best. I'm the best. If you're looking for somebody who is the picture of perfection as a religious person, I was that picture. He said, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, I was a Pharisee. There wasn't nobody that knew the law better than the Pharisees. There wasn't nobody that kept the law better than the Pharisees. So if you want to talk about laws, you want to talk about some rule keeping, trust me, I've kept all of them, and I even memorized the whole book. That's what the Pharisees had to do. They had to memorize the entire Torah, the entire Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. All those ones that are super hard that you can't seem to get through, they had to memorize them. You know what I'm saying? They had to memorize those. He said, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. He said, you want to talk about somebody who had some zeal inside of them? That was me. I went so far, I started murdering Christians. I persecuted the church. As touching righteousness in the law, blameless. According to the letter, you couldn't touch me. You couldn't touch me. But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He said, all those great things that I had done, all those accomplishments that I had made, you know what they are? They're dung. They ain't nothing. Because if I try to give that to God, God scoffs at it. Trust, God scoffs at your religious works when they're in the attitude of, this will please God. Let me tell you, there is nothing inside of you, absolutely nothing that pleases God. The only thing that pleases God and if his son. And if you've believed on him, you've trusted him to be your savior and the blood is applied to your life, let me tell you, you're pleasing to God just as much as you'll ever be. You can't please him anymore. When you got Jesus Christ as your savior and you believe in him, that's all he's looking for. And then when you get to heaven one day, he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter in the joy of the Lord. Why? Because you got the one I loved written on your heart. He said, I counted all life for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I counted those things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them as dung that I may win Christ. Hallelujah. Verse 14 is the one I'm trying to get to. He goes through all that list. He goes through all that list. I've been working. I've been doing great. You know what he's done? He's been shipwrecked so many times. He's healed blinded eyes. He's done miracles. He's seen revival break out absolutely everywhere he goes. But he says, there I count it all but dung. And he gets to verse 14. It says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now that's somebody who's got a divine dissatisfaction in them. Now that's somebody who's got a divine desperation in them that says, I can see miracles. I can see the lame get up. I can see people get filled with the Holy Ghost, I can see the whole world get saved, and everywhere that I'm going, every city that I'm visiting, breaking out in revival. But let me tell you, I put it all behind me, and I press towards the mark of the high calling of God in my life, because I gotta have more. It ain't enough. Enough is not enough in the kingdom of God. There's always greater. There's always more to be done. And Paul realized it and says, I gotta press. How many of us have stopped in our spiritual lives that are absolutely nowhere close to the mark that Paul left? How many of us have said time and time again in our hearts, maybe not verbally, maybe not out loud, maybe not to somebody else, but in our hearts we've said, God, I think I'm doing pretty good right now. No. No. We got to get that spirit of Paul in us that says, no matter what I'm doing, no matter what height I get to, I can't stop there. Because if I stop there, I stop the power of God from going any further in my life. If I stop where I'm at right now, that's it. I ain't seeing anything else. But he says there's a higher calling. There's a higher calling than just opening blinded eyes. There's a higher calling than just seeing souls saved. That calling is being a man of God and living a life that is going to be pleasing to him until the day that he calls us home. So take the limits of whatever off of whatever thing you think is great enough and say, God, help me press towards the mark of the high calling of God on my life. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Sister Jarvis, would you come to the piano? I'm about done. I got more to say, but I feel like God wants to deal with some hearts today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm talking about a divine desperation that every day I'm waking up and I'm saying, God, where are you at? God, where are you at today? God, where's the ministry at today? Where's your spirit leading me today, God? I might have done something good yesterday, but it's not good enough. There's still more to do. There's still more for me to go on and do. It's never enough. Now, don't think for one minute that God's looking down in heaven and saying, you still ain't doing good enough. I know what you did, but I don't even like that. No. No. He loves everything that we do for his kingdom. So I don't want you to think that God is constantly disappointed in you. Because let me tell you, you can't bring God no more joy than you're bringing him right now. He wants to see you in heaven more than you want to see him in heaven. That's the heart of the Father. Because the Bible says, it gets you to understand this, the Bible says that he sings over us in our sleep. In the book of Psalms, it's one of the verses, I can't remember which one. It says he sings over us in our sleep. What in the world are we doing for God while we're sleeping? We're just laying there. And he's saying, that's my child. I saved that one. I know where that one came from. I know what hell I pulled that one out of. I know what I had to do to get to them, and I love them. You can get to the point in your life that if you were in some tragic accident and you were in a wheelchair and a vegetable the rest of your life, you still couldn't please God more than you are in that state. When you're trusting in God and doing everything he can, he says, that's all I want. That's all I want. He don't look at the deed. He don't look at the deed and say, you have to do this. He says, just come on. Just keep coming. Wherever you're at, just keep coming. That's all I'm looking for. Just keep coming. Just keep coming. There's more. Don't get satisfied in me, because let me tell you, there's more in me than you could ever get in you. Just keep coming. Just keep coming. Just keep coming. Hallelujah. Can we stand all over the house? Hallelujah. 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 I want to read you a story about Satan. I want to read you a story about Dwight Moody. He was at a conference. It says, this cool calculating and analyzed gospel that may be preached lends itself very comfortably to spiritual declension of this hour. Conference after conference is called, committee after committee formed to discuss ways and means of revival. Only men who have an up-to-date experience with God can bring revival. The story is told of the late Dwight Moody. He was in England at the great Albert Hall. The church at that time was having a conference on evangelism. Mr. Moody listened to the committee, the rhetoric, and all of the talk about revival until becoming bored. He left the hall when the meeting was over. He left the hall when the meeting was over. And the crowd left the hall. They found to their astonishment Mr. Moody preaching to several thousand people in the square of London. Mr. Moody said, I'm tired of committees. I'm tired of conferences. I'm tired of church services that just talk about seeing God pour out revival. I'm tired of just going to places that just talk about the things that God could do. He got a divine desperation inside of him and says, I'm not just going to talk about it. I'm done with that. I'm just going to go out and do it. He said, I'm leaving this conference. They can talk about it all they want, but I'm going to go out on this street corner. I'm going to hop up on it and I'm going to preach to anybody that's going to listen. Can we get that kind of a divine dissatisfaction, a divine desperation inside of us? Amen. My altar call is just going to be simple. If you're willing to say, God, fill me up. God, put a divine dissatisfaction in me. God, I can't go on living like I am. God, I need a desperation. Make me desperate for you. Whatever you got to do, God, make me desperate. Don't let me live a comfortable life when people are going to hell. Don't let me live a comfortable life when there's still souls to be saved. Don't let me live a comfortable life when I'm not living it for you. If you want a divine dissatisfaction, a divine desperation, I invite you right now to come in the name of Jesus. All over this house, let's flood these altars. Say, God, give me that desperation. God, I want that burden. God, I want that desperation inside of me. I gotta have it. I can't go on living like I have been. I want to take the limits off of what you can do in my life. I want to take the limits off of what I think is just enough. I don't want to barely just get by in my Christian life. But I want to be attacking and storming the kingdom of hell each and every single day. Each and every single day, that's what I want to be doing. Oh, pray, church, pray, church, pray, church, pray, church.